Right. Well, this morning we're going to have a little look at faith and foundations. And I'm going to keep it relatively short so that you can have a chat with one another about faith as foundations. I've brought over here lots of books, and so I'm going for a little walk. And there is over here 8 books which I recommend you have a look at. If you were trying to explain to somebody what's the basis of your faith, what is it that makes your faith tick, what is it that you're building on, I wonder what you would say. I wonder what you would point to first. Those books over there are, to some extent, the sort of books that various different people might turn to say, well, this expresses something of where I'm coming from. And maybe we could talk about some of the issues. So there's a book there called Resurrection, Proved Beyond Doubt by Josh McDowell. He was a lawyer, and he decided to try to prove that the resurrection didn't happen and ended up believing that it did. And a number of people who have set out with the specific aim of disproving that the resurrection took place have ended up believing that it did take place and moving on from there. But can you see that that's actually became the foundation of their faith? Because it was where they started their journey. It was where they started thinking about what is it that... And when you think about scriptures, I mean, Luke is a great, great historian. And I love Luke's gospel to bits. It's wonderful. But there is a downside to Luke's gospel. Because he's a historian, he tends to look at incidents and to block them. So you can take one bit and study it, and then next week you can take another bit and study it and not see that they're actually connected. There's a lovely bit in Luke's gospel where the Bible uses a word which is very strange, and this is the first words after the resurrection that declare that the resurrection has taken place. And what Luke says is that when the ladies, Mary and her friends, got back from the tomb, having established that the resurrection had actually taken place, they told the disciples, Peter and James and John and so on. And what it says is that they believed that they were simply telling idle tales. Idle tales are, you know, meaningless, throwaway comments. In the context of Easter and what happened over the previous few days, the concept that these women came back excited like you wouldn't believe, and the disciples said, oh, it's just meaningless, tittle-tattle, ridiculous. It's very easy to see how in our thinking it can get split, what was happening on Good Friday through to Easter Sunday, and the way that the women came back and shared something. It was all one event. Now, I want you to think, what is the basis of my faith? When somebody shared with me and I said, oh, I'm beginning to see the light, I'm beginning to get it, I'll go and look some more. Because you see, even though the disciples said, rubbish, idle tales, Peter set off like a train, followed by John, to get to the tomb to have a look. He was prepared to go and seek some evidence. He was prepared to say, okay, you guys think it's ridiculous, just idle tales, but I'm going to have a look. And that's the journey that everyone has to take. There has to be a start point where it could be ridiculous, it could be nothing, just idle tales. But just possibly there's something in it. Maybe I'll have a look. Maybe I'll go and see for myself. And of course, it's in the going to see for yourself that Jesus then reveals himself as being the one who is actually raised from the dead. We don't have the luxury, if you like, of having an Easter day, but we do have that journey to take. And for some people, their journey needs to start from a very basic place. There are books on there which are a very, very easy reading. There's books on there which are extremely difficult reading for the academics who want long words and long sentences. And we are all different. We all need to begin that journey our way. And then when we've started that journey, that will become the start of foundations, if you like. So I think most Christians, if I was to say to them, what's the foundation of your faith? They would probably say, the cross. Is that a fair... maybe not here because we think things through more, but most people think of the cross as being central. There are theologians who spent their entire life work saying that the cross is the central, most important thing in history. And to some extent, I agree. To some extent, I disagree. The reason being this chopped up nature of, if you only had the cross, it would be ultimate failure. A man who thought that he was going to rise from the dead, who didn't. A man who said he was going to rescue and do wonderful things, build a kingdom that would never end, didn't. The cross on its own means nothing at all. It's just an instrument of torture to get rid of unwanted messiahs. But you see, the cross isn't what Easter is all about. It's part of what Easter is about. An absolutely vital part of what Easter is about. Without the cross, Easter is nothing. The life of Jesus is nothing. Because that is the place where God demonstrates that he loves the world so much that he's prepared to give his only son, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. But you see, unless you add the everlasting life into it, the cross becomes meaningless. So actually, you need the resurrection to validate the cross and to bring about something that is far bigger than merely a self-sacrificial gift. You need something that's going to be real hope for real people throughout history. And that's why the resurrection is so important, because when Jesus returns from the dead, when death is conquered, suddenly that has a relevance to you and me, because the amazing statistic is that out of every single human being that's on the planet, everyone will experience death. Every one of us will experience death. It's just the ultimate statistic. But if somebody has been raised from the dead, after having said that he would, after having said the things that Jesus said, that deserves a very serious look. And it deserves to be something of the foundations of what we build our faith on. It needs to be not just the resurrection, it needs the cross, but not just the cross because it needs the resurrection. Some Christians would say it's all about Christmas, that God gave his son. The incarnation was the most incredible miracle. That's what it's... Can you see where I'm going with this? It's not about Christmas, but it is. It's not about Jesus' life and teaching, but it is. It's not about his death, but it is. the common factor in all of these, the birth, the life, the teaching, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the pouring out of the Spirit, us being here, the common factor is Jesus, the person. And that's where our foundations are. When we think about foundations, well, I'm going to talk a little bit about Colossians chapter 2, which is a wonderful piece of Greek writing from Paul. The commentators tend to say that this summarizes, these two verses summarize what Paul is trying to say to the Colossian church. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, based on what you began with, and overflowing with thankfulness. And those, if Paul had only had 10 seconds to write to the Colossians, then that's probably what he would have written. He's saying it's Christ Jesus who is the person you receive, the person you have a relationship with, the person who is the foundation of your faith. And everything that goes with who Jesus is, that's what I want you to be rooted and built up. Well, let's have a think about foundations just for a moment. First of all, Jesus as a human being said these things. I am the bread of life. We've shared bread together this morning, and we've claimed that it's bread that gives us life and brings us together. He is the one who sustains us and who gives us food. I am the light of the world. He's the one who brings wisdom, illumination. He shows us the way. I'm the door, the mediator between here and the hereafter. The one who becomes the priest. I am the good shepherd, he said. The one who looks after you, takes care of you. I am the resurrection and the life, he said to Martha when he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. Not there is resurrection or you will see resurrection, but I am the resurrection. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. This was a man who, when we begin to see that at the foundation of our faith is Jesus, the person, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his giving of the Spirit, the church across the ages, we begin to see that actually we have a lot going for us in terms of confidence, in terms of evidence. And many of those books turn to the evidence that Jesus existed, Jesus said these things, that Jesus did die and claimed to be the sacrificial lamb for us, claimed to rise again and did rise again, which gives us a hope, a confidence for our lives, for our death, for our resurrection. So let's think a little bit about foundations. Most people sort of think of foundations. Anybody know what the building is on the left-hand side? The Patron. Anybody know how tall it is? It's very tall. Yes, you're quite right. It's about 450 metres to the top of its spire. And that building, any idea how far down its foundations had to be into the ground to keep it? Anybody want to guess? About 113 metres. So it's about 300, 400 feet. What about the other building? It's the Shard, that's right. And anybody know how deep the Shard's foundations are? 53 metres. 150 feet. And in both of those cases, they started to build and then they worked on the foundations. Strange, isn't it? You'd expect the foundations to go in first. But actually, what they did was they started to build and then began to work on the foundations. I've no idea from an engineering point of view why that is. Probably our engineering expert over here may be able to say. Oh, not a civil engineer. Oh, dear. Oh, that's it. Okay. Well, it's still standing in the photo. But it is interesting, actually, that you say it's falling down. I want to turn to something that I find far more interesting than the foundations of buildings, even though the foundations of buildings can teach us something. I always want to turn to something that God does rather than what man does in order to have a look at this. Now, trees, they're the sort of God's version of skyscrapers, aren't they? Well, I call trees God's fireworks because when you look at the shapes of them, they do the same thing as fireworks, but they just stay there for a lot longer. To my eyes, they're a lot more beautiful, and they're certainly an awful lot more ecologically friendly. So to me, trees are God's illustration of what it is to be rooted. Now, back in history, people thought that trees were kind of like that. That was how people thought of trees in terms of their roots. Is it, anybody would agree with that? Think that's probably about right? You're not prepared to say, because you know that I'm about to say that's not how it is at all. And that's not strictly true, because trees grow in different ways in different places, based on three things. They need water, nutrients, and oxygen. That's what the roots are trying to find. They're trying to find nutrients, water, and oxygen. The roots, therefore, are looking for somewhere that's got oxygen. Where is the oxygen going to be? Near the surface. So actually, this idea that roots tend to go really deep in trees, generally speaking, is not the case. And if you go into the woods, you'll see when trees get knocked over, actually, it's much more like this. And actually, the crown of a tree is about a quarter to a third of the size of the root system that is around it. And the root system doesn't go very deep. But interestingly, trees tend to stand up very much better to wind and weather and so on than skyscrapers do. And the reason is that, generally speaking, they end up with friends. There's a wonderful walk. If you go down the hangings and across the field and just around there where the clay pits are, there's one or two trees which, when you look at them, you've got the tree here, the root system here, and underneath there's a gaping hole. And the tree is still standing, a huge tree. And the reason is that it's hanging on to its neighbour, who's hanging on to its neighbour, who's hanging on to its neighbour. Its roots are built up by being securely woven into a whole great pattern of root systems near the surface, not by going down deep and being isolated and on their own, but by being spread out and interrelated with others, who are also seeking nutrients and oxygen and water. So in God, in nature, there is an illustration of what the church should be, that our foundations, the things that we're building on, we should be sharing with one another the things on which we're building our faith and encouraging one another to investigate those things, to read books and talk about them, to read the scripture and talk about it, to pray together and talk about what we're praying about, and to build our faith on the evidence that is there. And as we are close to the surface being built up, we're going to find that people see us and ask us questions and start to say, well, why do you do that? Or why do you say that? Or why do you believe that? And because we've been talking naturally and easily to one another about these things, it comes out very naturally and easily. Well, actually, we we don't believe that death is the end. Actually, approximately 70% of the country doesn't believe death is the end. 70% of people believe in life after death, but they've no idea what that means. And we've got the obvious answer. The resurrection of Jesus is what shows us what resurrection and life after death is all about. Our roots are based on faith. Faith in something that is solid, secure, and it's growing. And it's not just a faith in something that's past, but it's a faith for the future. Because what Jesus has done, if the resurrection is true, as I said last week, that means resurrection happens. And it's true for us too. Let's encourage one another. Because you see, when Paul wrote those verses, he finishes off by saying, overflowing with thanks. And when we begin to overflow with thanksgiving and praise and encouragement and compassion and love and mercy and grace and forgiveness and good things, the blessings that God gives us to share, what happens is that we do find that we get the nutrients and the oxygen and the water that we need in order to bear fruit. So we begin to bear fruit. And Jesus said it would be fruit that is good fruit and that it'll last, it'll stick around. It's basing ourselves on this model of being more like a tree that reaches up but actually reaches out. Reaches out. And we tend to think of the crown of the tree as being the bit that reaches out, whereas actually it's the roots that are reaching out. So I'm just going to throw in a few things, because from chapter 2 verses 9 to 15 he then begins to expand how this works, and he says don't get kidnapped, he says don't get condemned, but if you can keep yourself growing in this root system, in this way, rooted and grounded, then you're going to find that in Christ there is a fullness and a fruitfulness which is wonderful to be part of. It's not down to you, but it's down to the way God wants things to be in Christ. You're going to find that there's forgiveness and fellowship with Christ, with the one who rose from the dead. In fact, you're going to be raised from death yourself. And you're going to find that there's freedom and a future. Nobody wants a future that's tied up with addictions and problems and difficulties. We want a freedom that is going to take us into a future knowing we are free to express who we are in Christ. I encourage you to have a look at Colossians and read through some of these verses and see that as we begin to look at faith over these next few weeks, just begin by recognizing the foundations are not the cross or the resurrection or Christmas, or it's Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. And by trusting in him, getting to know him, all of this is ours. That's brilliant, isn't it? I think that's wonderful. And I just encourage you, if you haven't looked at some of the evidence or some of the books that are written to help us explain our faith, to give us the information we need, then on the table over there, there's a few. Some you'll look at and put straight down. Maybe another one you'll pick up and think, that's interesting. And if you think that, somebody else might think that. And I'm happy to get copies of any of those. I borrowed one from Emma. She doesn't realize it yet. It was late. But do have a look. Do build, grow in your faith. But remember, it's Jesus who is the foundation. Jesus who gave us this. Jesus who gives us this. So let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can know Jesus because he's alive, he's with us. Thank you that he poured out his Spirit upon us in order that we would know a relationship with the Father God. And thank you that as we get to know Jesus better, so he can do things in us and through us that will make a real difference in this world, we can give ourselves and know that no matter what we give ourselves to, God can turn it into something that is a blessing, that is good. So Father, help us this week to know Jesus and to know him more and more. And we ask this in his name. Amen.